This is Kraftwerk.
This is my hometown, and I just believe this hometown wouldn't have been the same if this team had left here.
A look back at 25 years of Patriots ownership.
And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
And the Patriots are world champions again!
A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
We are all Patriots, and tonight, the Patriots are world champions!
Once again, here's Mark Bertrand.
The 2018 NFL season will be the 25th season the Patriots play under the ownership of the Kraft family. Over the last 25 years, the team has become the model of success in professional football. In the last quarter century, the Pats have played in the Super Bowl 9 times while winning 5 titles. So where does the telling of this story begin? January 2nd, 1994. It was Week 17, and the 4-11 Patriots were winners of 3 straight with a matchup with the Dolphins on tap at Foxborough Stadium. In the crowd of 53,883 were Robert and Jonathan Kraft, season ticket holders since the opening of what was then Schaefer Stadium in 1971. By now, Robert wasn't just your average fan, because in 1988, he purchased the stadium. On the closing Sunday of the 93 season, rookie quarterback Drew Bledsoe and his team were looking to spoil Miami's hopes of securing a wild card berth.
Turner lines up offset fullback left. Russell the eye back. Third and goal at the Miami 11. Turner in motion to the right. Bledsoe calling signals. Bledsoe straight back to throw. Steps. Fires wide open left. Complete to Coates. In. Touchdown. Drew Bledsoe to Ben Coates.
The Patriots had taken a 10-0 lead in the first half, but early in the fourth quarter, it was all tied at 17. Miami didn't have a lead until 3:40 remained in regulation when they went ahead 24-20 on Terry Kirby's 15-yard touchdown run. Following that, Bledsoe led a 75-yard drive that was capped with the second touchdown pass of the day to Ben Coates, and the Pats led 27-24.
Stojanovic will attempt a 24-yard field goal from right in the middle of the field to try to tie the game with 9 seconds remaining. There's the snap. The ball is down. The kick is up, and it is good, and we're tied at 27-27 with 6 seconds remaining in the game.
And that sent it to overtime. 4 minutes and 44 seconds later, the Patriots ended their season on a high note.
First and 10 at the Miami 36. Russell alone set back behind Bledsoe. He drops straight back to throw. Pump fakes. Going for the whole thing. His man is open. Timpson. Touchdown. Patriots win.
The final month of the season could not have been better for the rookie quarterback or his head coach, Bill Parcells.
I thought that I improved considerably over the season. I think that my big goal coming into the season was to learn and get better every week. I think for the most part I was able to do that.
I thought Bledsoe made some enormous strides today. You know, he's going to have them all scared here in about another year. We just got to get him some more guys and we'll be all right.
Bledsoe looked like a future star. But the bigger question that day was, where would that future be?
Meet me in St. Louis, meet me at the fair.
As the team left the field, the crowd chanted, St. Louis sucks and we won't go. The crowd that day was sending a message to team owner James Orthwine, who planned to relocate to St. Louis and rename the team the St. Louis Stallions. This is something that Scott Zolak remembers well.
Everybody wanted to stay. You're starting to feel good about the football team. I was here when it was 2-14, and you remember the McPherson years. Just that first level of the stadium was full. And we started to see the people starting to come around. And that's the time you want to pull the plug on them. The fans were starting to actually affect games. And all of a sudden, you want to pull the plug on New England fans and take the team. You know, St. Louis was real to us. I remember having a St. Louis Stallions hat in my locker. Purple and yellow. So, like, wow, we're gonna take the Viking colors and tweak that, and we're gonna be the St. Louis Stallions. Made no sense to us.
While still on the field that day, linebacker Vincent Brown and teammates removed their helmets and pointed emphatically to the new Flying Elvis logo.
As players, we really know it's about as much as the average fan. You know, if I had a preference, I would prefer to stay here, but we really don't have any say-so in the matter. So we go out, we play, and we try to keep abreast of what's going on through you guys.
Leonard Russell and Pat Harlow felt the same way as the fans.
We want to stay here. You know, I think for the fans and for the people who really stuck behind us, you know, they've seen us go through some hard times. And since I've been here in 3 years, I've been through some hard times. But it looks like things is on the upswing, and it looks like we have some momentum, and it looks like we're going to be a real good team, you know, next year. And I just want everybody around here to be able to stay here and see that, and for us to stay here so we can give it to them.
I hope we're here.
Yeah. But like I said, I have no clue.
The situation the Patriots were in reminded Robert Kraft all too much of when another favorite team of his left town more than four decades earlier.
You know, I remember when the Boston Braves moved, and that was my team. I was so sad for so long, and they moved to Milwaukee. And I used to live right near the old Braves field. And I know, so I knew what that did to a community and to a fan base. You know, I was pretty young, but it made a big mark. And going down that elevator, listening to fans, felt the same thing.
As we were riding down the elevator, the old Foxborough Stadium, and, you know, Drew Bledsoe had just won that game, you know, against the Dolphins, knocking them out of the playoffs in dramatic fashion, completing the touchdown pass. And we were going down the elevator, and we heard a bunch of the people who were just staying in the stadium chanting, "Don't take our team." And he looked over at me, and because we had been getting pretty frustrated, and he just said, "There's no blank and way, we're not buying this thing.
We're going to let this team leave this community. So there's no effing way we're going to let this team leave."
Nobody could say for sure what would happen to the Patriots franchise in 1994. But Robert Kraft was more determined than ever to buy the team, now nearly a decade into his pursuit of the Pats. Next time on Kraftwerk.
The kids got out of religious school early, even though their mother never figured out till we bought the team that that's what happened.
Long before Robert Kraft owned the Patriots, he was a diehard football fan who spent his Sundays with his sons in Foxborough.
You make great friends in the stands, and it's a coming together. And, you know, what's so interesting is, what, 40-odd years later, it's still the same.
Long before Robert Kraft completed his purchase of the New England Patriots in 1994, he was a dedicated season ticket holder in Foxborough beginning in 1971 with the opening of Schaefer Stadium. The start of the 70s was the continuation of a dry spell for the Pats, nine straight losing seasons, including the first five in their new stadium.
So Kraft has them all the way up to the 46-yard line. First down, Patriots. Wide right as Stingley goes in motion to the left. Cunningham, the fullback. Heron offset left half. They give us to Heron on a sweep across the 45. Spins across the 50. Fumbles the ball. It is picked up by Houston's Zeke Moore. Sliding down the left sideline. He's gone to the 10, to the 5, and he's going to go in for a touchdown.
It meant there were plenty of good seats available, including six seats in row 23 of section 217, the seats that the Kraft family filled each home game.
You know, the sense of community coming with my boys and going through the turnstiles, where they also included a couple of friends. We had a system how we could get extras in with us. And, you know, since the metal benches, they weren't the seats, and they were kids, it was pretty easy to do, and it was never sold out. So it was just a great way to do things. One of the great family experiences on a Sunday. And we love football. The kids got out of religious school early, even though their mother never figured out till we bought the team that that's what happened.
He used to leave us written notes under our pillows to telling our teacher we needed to leave an hour early, and we'd and bring them with us.
And we'd get deli at the local deli, bring down and enjoy that fair here, and it was great. And you know, you make great friends in the stands, and it's a coming together. And you know, what's so interesting is, what, 40-odd years later, it's still the same.
A lot of those same people.
Well, but also, think about it, how you have people sitting in the stands from all walks of life, but there's a common thread there that they're all rooting for the team, and they're all doing things the same way, and it cuts through all people. It's one of the great bridge builders, and I really think the NFL does that throughout America, sort of like soccer does it throughout the world. And, you know, we just saw that in the recent World Cup.
Second and goal at the 5. Plunkett calling signal. Slides down the left. Going to keep it and go inside the 5, and he's in for a touchdown. Jim Plunkett carries from 5 yards out of the option play.
From my perspective, back in 71, I still remember the night that my went and met my dad at the door in the spring of 71 at some point, and my dad came home, and I was 7, and he opened up his briefcase, one of those old leather briefcases with the double locks, and he opened it up. And
that I still have.
Which is probably true. He has...
I don't throw anything out.
Yeah.
I'm a hoarder. Free T-shirts, everything.
If you walked into his bedroom at home, you'd think you were walking into a flea market. And I'm not exaggerating. There's just stacks of stuff that people have sent him. And when my mom was alive, she wouldn't allow that. She'd make it get purged. But now it just keeps accumulating. But you'd see these tickets. He opened his briefcase, and there were these white strips with the old crooked Pat Patriot. And he said, those are season tickets to the Patriots in their new home, because I remember him saying their new home was going to be Schaefer Stadium and Plunkett. And it started, my brothers and I knew how special football was, how meaningful it was to my dad, because he'd watch it on Sundays. And then we started going as a family, and it was really pretty special.
So were you there for the first game down here?
I don't think we went to the preseason game because it was at night and we were little kids.
But first real game?
Yeah, the first real game.
Was the traffic as bad as they say it was?
Traffic was always bad. We'd pull into the parking lot, though, and he'd always duke the guy at the front of the lot. He'd give him a really nice, a tip or extra payment so that we could park right by the gate to get out. So we didn't sit in the lots in those days, it was close to 3 hours.
He's at the 45. He's at midfield. All they got to do is tackle him. The ball game is over. The Patriots win. They have won the Eastern Division. 26-24 over the Buffalo Bills. Schaefer Stadium is just a sea of fans rushing onto the field. The ball game is over. The Patriots win it. They win the Eastern Division championship in the American Football Conference.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I'd sit with my boys and in those... Well, the first 34 years, but since 71, there was one home playoff game, which we lost to Houston, Earl Campbell.
78.
And then you think, one home playoff game, and our season was always over around Thanksgiving. So we just dreamt about how we'd do things if we had the opportunity.
Next time on Kraftwerk. The passion Robert Kraft had for the Patriots turns into the long quest to buy the team.
I was sitting in my suite and it leaked and ruined his hair. You know, his hair was all dripping down. And I was like, okay, maybe you should sell us the team then.